What do you do when you have time on your hands? Lots of it. This is a real challenge in retirement. What do you do with all those hours? Decide to be your own boss and move forward with zero guilt and zero regrets. Tune in to Fresh Courage Radio. It's your time to shine with host Sharon Rolfe on Transformation Talk Radio. We all have something special to share with the world, but many of us fail to use our innate talents to the fullest possible potential. Communities, cities, and nations grow stronger when everyone brings forward their unique gifts and talents to build and to create. We're creating with a freedom we never had before. It's not a trap. It's not a dream. You really are free. Time is your key to unlocking a life kept in waiting. Let's get started. There's no time to waste on Fresh Courage Radio with Sharon Rolfe now.
Well, welcome today to Fresh Courage. It's your time to shine on Transformation Talk Radio. And we're here to help you live wholeheartedly, to enjoy everything, and to live boldly with meaningfulness and no regrets. So today's topic, I think it's going to be a lively discussion with my guest, Alan Goldstein. And our topic is weaving life together by connecting our lives with stories and metaphors, where often we can share values, wisdom, and life lessons. So Alan, if you don't know who his work, he's actually an international award-winning feature film director, screenwriter, and storyteller since 1979. So he's got this down. He's got over 50 full-length films and has been nominated for 3 Emmys. He's now a nonfiction writer and a columnist for the Grunion Gazette, called Full Speed Ahead. He holds multiple degrees in psychology and education and is a member of the Retirement Coaches Association, where I met him, a senior member of the Director Guild of America and the Writers Guild of America. And he's most known today for his film Death Wish 5. So welcome, Alan.
Well, thank you, Sharon, and thank you for inviting me onto your show.
Okay. I hope we learn how storytelling and metaphors apply to our life and make them both richer and with more meaning. So what are we going to learn today?
Well, you know, Sharon, I thought what we would talk about today is both storytelling, which, of course, is probably one of the things that man has done right from the beginning since language was invented. And we share our oral histories, personal and societal. And I thought we'd also talk about what are the really the brickworks of storytelling, which is metaphor. It's through metaphor that we're able to create stories that can resonate for us individually, for us as a family, for us as a society. Mm-hmm. So I thought we'd kind of look into both of those aspects, the brickwork for building the buildings that we're going to be calling storytelling.
So it sounds like maybe it would be handy to have a piece of paper around to maybe make some notes on, huh?
I would think that would be happy. That would be
okay.
Definitely.
And why is this topic relevant or important to our lives?
Well, you know, when you try to make sense of the world around you.
Oh, yeah.
When you try to make sense of your own individual journey, and immediately I'm using a metaphor right there, as in journey. Mm-hmm. When you try to kind of encapsulate what's happening around you and the complexities of this world or in the complexities of your life, sometimes you need something to be able to distill something into what could be, I like to call a visual word, something that's not, and when we talk about metaphor, I want our audience to understand, I'm not talking about simply talking about that literary term that we learned in school. That's not really what it is. What I'm talking about is what the great psychoanalyst Carl Jung, who studied so much about psychoanalysis and kind of all of you are familiar, his studies on dreams, etc. Carl Jung called metaphor the language of intuition. And by that, he meant that it captures reality, but it also reveals mystery. Metaphor takes you, it's almost, think of it as a key. Think of it as a key that can unlock for the individual, can unlock that mysterious area where the subconscious and the conscious meet.
Oh, yeah.
That area is the area that, if you can unlock it, that area is the area where you can provide understanding and explanation, more than just in a semantic way, but in a deeply emotional way, an emotional way where it will resonate. And it can resonate not just for you, it can resonate for people around you.
Powerful.
And it can have an echo beyond you. It can have an echo for generations. Because there are metaphors that we have and that we've seen, visual and written, that think of it almost as a compass, being able to help you make decisions throughout your life. Mm-hmm. So it's very relevant.
It reminds me of a training I did way back probably 25 years ago. And it was about how you use words. And they kind of imagine this as a bucket. Well, the metaphor is kind of a way to carry the bucket. Your words carry a meaning. And that visual was really powerful to me. It was using icons real effectively to demonstrate the use of words in a clear kind of way, because they were kind of using policies that were as dry as could be. Mm-hmm. But if you change a few words and took, you know, a 3-inch paragraph and condense it down to 5 words, how much more valuable was that? So that's a big, and it usually would create a picture in our mind and help us realize the value of what they're trying to say that was so bland and so.
You know, Sharon, so I just want to work on what you were just saying, a picture in my mind. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. And it can be a metaphor, does not necessarily have to be a word. Metaphor can just as easily be an image. You can have metaphoric images, which will resonate and create emotion and thought and memory. And it can be a word. I remember at the conference where we met, I was talking about, I always love to use this as an example of a visual metaphor that is generational. When I grew up, and I'm sure many of our listening audience is going to be able to relate to this, when I was a young tyke, I know Sunday evenings were an amazing time for me. Mm-hmm. Our family would crowd around the television set at 7 o'clock, turn on the TV, which had tons of snow on it, until my father touched the antenna. He ended up sticking there next to the TV. There's an image to we all could imagine. And what would show on? What would come on? The Wonderful World of Disney. Now, I don't remember most of the things I saw in Disney, but I knew that I was in for an adventure. I was in to meet mysterious and exciting people, and I knew that it was a world of creativity. And it always began with that magic castle coming on and Tinkerbell coming around, anointing it, a little bit of fireworks, and the adventure would begin. To this day, whenever I see that image, I revert right back to when I was a kid. I get goosebumps. Wow. I get excited about the adventure. I get excited about creativity. And so to me, I know that my parents, were they alive, would still feel that. And I know my children who saw it still feel that. It's it goes across generations. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of an exciting thing to think of metaphor, not only as words, but also as images.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's see. You just told me the answer to my next question was the earliest gig about storytelling. And how does that image of Disney play into your life today?
Well, that image basically says that your world is only limited by your creativity.
Oh, and that's so huge.
That's what that image says to me. And I think says to a lot of people. And so, of course, it applies to me because as a writer, whether it's fictional or non-fictional, mm-hmm. as a filmmaker, meaning I tell stories with images, mm-hmm. this tells me, you know, do not in any way stop your imagination from traveling to the most distant of places because it's all reality. And metaphor, getting back to that, is so interesting in that. Because think of metaphor as there's the world around you, or even better, think of metaphor as the galaxy. You're looking up at the night sky, there's 1,000 stars up there. It's hard to make sense of anything. But if you think of metaphor as your telescope, where you can focus in on one star and study that star, all of a sudden things start to become more understandable, mm-hmm. more kind of reminiscent of things. And it's the same with metaphor in one's life. Mm-hmm. You can definitely do that. So I think that there's a lot of use for metaphor as, and not just as creativity. I think it also can be incredibly useful for individuals like us who are at our stage of life of being able to make sense of what was, what is, and what shall be. So it's almost a time travel kind of thing.
Okay, so we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to ask Alan, talk with him about why stories matter. We've gotten a teaser about why they matter. So stay tuned.
Is traditional medicine not working for you? Do you still feel as if your health isn't 100%? Here at the Holistic Medical Center, Dr. Nushin Darvish and the qualified staff look through the dimensions of wellness and start a healing plan prioritized to your needs. Our physicians assess the whole you until complete health is achieved. Get the help you need by visiting drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Some people dream of freedom before they know it even once. What happens when we find ourselves in unimaginable freedom? Retired, children are grown, and don't know what to do with all that time you never had before. On the hit new show, Fresh Courage, it's your time to shine with host Sharon Rolfe on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how to honor that freedom with a life filled with meaning and possibilities.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Some people dream of freedom before they know it even once. What happens when we find ourselves in unimaginable freedom? Retired, children are grown, and don't know what to do with all that time you never had before. On the hit new show, Fresh Courage, it's your time to shine with host Sharon Rolfe on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn how to honor that freedom with a life filled with meaning and possibilities.
listening to Fresh Courage on Transformation Talk Radio. And this is your host, Sharon Rolfe. And my guest is Alan Goldstein, a film director and storyteller. And we're talking about weaving life together using our life stories. And I was just telling Alan that I have long appreciated the stories that are, in fact, in the Bible, what we call parables. And I had appreciated the fact that there was a story and then there was a moral to the story underlying kind of that subconscious, speaking to our subconscious that we aren't always aware of. And Alan, you spoke to that earlier about that's part of the power of storytelling and metaphors, right?
Absolutely, Sharon. I was referring to actually to Carl Jung, who spent his entire career studying dreams, subconscious, but also studying, interestingly, metaphor. He's written extensively on it. And he said that he believed that metaphor was the language of intuition, that it captured reality and it revealed mystery. I thought long and hard about what he was talking about there. Mm-hmm. And after reading more about what he was talking about, he's really talking about that very mysterious zone where the unconscious and the conscious meet. It's that kind of gray zone, and that's where metaphor lives. That mm-hmm. is where metaphor resonates, because mm-hmm. it's that moment where both what your thoughts are and what your emotions are all come together. And if one is able to encapsulate it, capture it, it can create and resonate an emotion that can stay with you for the rest of your life. It can provide direction. It can provide understanding.
Yeah.
Right. So much. And you were talking about the Bible, where when you, with parables, of course, Aesop's fables is a perfect example of that. Dr. Seuss is a great example of that. Mm-hmm. When you read about things, I mean, anybody just has to, all I have to say is How the Grinch Stole Christmas. We immediately, all of us.
Picture.
Come up, yeah. Oh my gosh, you come in, it'll create all kinds of memories, but it'll also create all kinds of thoughts about, oh, you know, am I a Grinch? Do I have those Grinch moments? Because interestingly, by the way, he says that he wrote How the Grinch Wrote Christmas the day after Christmas Day. It was December the 26th. He was in the mirror shaving and he looked at himself and he was just sour. And he thought, who is that? Is that, oh my God, who is that? And he said, who is that Grinch? And he sat down and he thought, oh my goodness, it's the 26th of December and I've lost the spirit of Christmas. Mm. And I have to figure out how to get that back. And that's what actually prompted and motivated to write was probably one of his most famous, those famous books. And of that, you get great metaphor coming out of that.
Well, and I had kind of opened this with the School of Hard Knocks is a metaphor. How many times have your parents lectured you about, do you really want to learn that the hard way, or can you learn from somebody else's good fortune or bad fortune and help you make your decisions for your life?
You're right, Sharon. Metaphor is what I said before. It's almost can function as a compass, a life compass for us, because sometimes it can give you that help to give you direction. And a lot of times it can also help you be able to give yourself support and motivation. For example, a person who unfortunately is diagnosed with a form of cancer and knows that they're going to be going through chemotherapy and very difficult journey. In their minds, if they look at that journey as like, I have a mountain to climb.
Yeah.
That can really help them get through that in a positive way. Or someone who looks back at their life, right, or at the phase of their life that they're in and feel that they're kind of stuck, that they're in, let's say, I feel like I'm stuck in a prison. There's a metaphor, right? Mm-hmm. Now, how can you use that negative metaphor, because it is negative, to become positive? Well, you think, well, I'm stuck in a prison, therefore I have to somehow figure out how to get the key to unlock that prison.
Yeah.
That metaphor of the key can keep you going, is this the key? Is that the key? How do I find the key? And so you can use metaphor in so many ways in terms of your own life, motivating yourself, reminding yourself of where you are, giving yourself directionality. It's and sharing that with people around you. So it's a powerful, powerful tool.
Well, and using the intuition here, when you kind of give your subconscious a task about what is that key, mm-hmm. and how can I, now you've gotten more resources than you knew you had, because your subconscious can go to work and say, oh yeah, I use this key there, I use that key there, which one will work for me today?
Exactly, Sharon, and directionality. Mm-hmm. So you feel like there's a forward progression as opposed to just going right, left, right, left, right. Exactly. There's a directionality that you can use, and that directionality can be very, very, very powerful for all of us. And you know, this stuff, these metaphors, it's not something that only adults use. Metaphor is probably even more powerful for children. And you know, there's a lot of people keep asking, yeah, actually you asked me this, but you were writing to me about this, and you're saying, well, when does someone start using metaphor? When does a child begin using metaphor? I would assert that when language begins, metaphor begins. Studies will not support me on that, but studies do say, interestingly, that by preschool, by the time a child is 4 or 5, they're understanding metaphors, and the levels keep going higher up till they can understand metaphorical stories. But, you know, if you go to your grandson or your grandchild, granddaughter, and say, sweetheart, you are the sunshine of my life. They know what you're talking about. They're not thinking that they're the sun in the sky. They know that it's, you're making me smile. You're creating light on me. They understand completely. And they're going to come back there and go, you know, Grams, am I the sunshine of your life? You're going to go, yes. And you both understand exactly what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
So you wanted to kind of help us. You had some steps of creating a story. Should we delve into that? We've got a few minutes here. We might have to finish it in the next section. But what did you want to tell us about crafting a good story?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, that's definitely going to take more than 3 minutes. But nevertheless, crafting a good story, like in any story, you know, there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. You need that. As silly as that sounds, it's very, very important. When you craft a story, the key to it is to understand what's the underlying emotions and themes that you're trying to talk about. And it's very important to know that before you start crafting a story, because you'll find when you start creating a story, you have to figure out what are called the beats of the story, where it's going to go. So it's very important before you even start writing a story or before you start even telling a story, what you do first is you sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and you go, okay, you write the thing, beginning, middle, end, and then you put little dots between them, let's say at least 3, and you go, this is what I'm going to talk about at the beginning, this is how I'm going to get to where the middle is, this is how I'm going to get to where the end is, so that you have a map. You need a map. If you just sit down and try, it's kind of like if I told somebody who lives here in Los Angeles, drive to New York City, please, without a map. The likelihood of them getting to New York City is pretty low. However, if they have a map, they can get there. It's the same with a story. You need a map. Once you have a map, you can go for it. But
well, it's kind of like, what's the point of the story? Mm-hmm. That you can tell a story, but unless you wrap it up with what's the point, then
And if you keep rambling on, you lose your audience.
Yeah.
So the key is to be able to really focus. It's kind of like a laser focus. There's another metaphor for us. Kind of laser focus. Know where you're going. Know what your point is. And know what the point of the story is. Because, you know, when we come back, we can talk about there's stories that, like I do, for a huge, massive audience. But you know what the most important stories are? The most important stories are the family stories that you tell your family when you're sitting around the dining room table.
Yeah.
When you've all come together for Christmas or Thanksgiving. Those are the stories that are going to resonate in everyone's mind.
Well, and I've often recalled how often around the dining table, we would have conversation. And that isn't happening now much, it seems like. And I think we are at a loss in our society because those values and lessons learned and what's important kind of is being missed in that storytelling process.
Yeah, very much so. And we call that directional stories. There's different types of stories. And those directional stories are stories that help you find direction in terms of where you're going.
We need that
so much. And I mean, all of us, even though it is disappearing, we all love to be able to hear how our father was so goofy and asked our mother out 17 times until she at last said, oh gosh, okay, let's go on a date, and they fell in love. We love those stories. Those are the stories we want to hear. So we've got to bring them back.
Okay, so let's learn some more about that. We're going to take another break and talk some more about those stages of crafting a story. So do just stay tuned to Fresh Courage.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Ober. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Ober. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyober.com. That's drkathyober.com.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
You know that moment when you realize you've mastered your wellness or that you will never fall off the roller coaster of life? Well, yeah, me either. But I still ride unicorns. I will teach you how to become a mindset master. You will learn how your habits and behavior affect the success of your nutrition and exercise, relationships, organization, and so much more. Motivation doesn't arrive in an email, so stop waiting for it. You have to take action, then motivation follows. I am Coach Peggy Wells. Get out of your comfort zone and recognize the simple truth. We aren't that special. We all have crap to deal with, and we all have a lot more in common than not. I want to spark you into action. We will learn, love, and laugh together. So join me every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific for Coach Couch and Coffee Radio, where you will learn that being happy and healthy is way more than carrot sticks and squats. I'll talk to you later.
For listening. listening to Fresh Courage, and I'm Sharon Rolfe talking with my guest, Alan Goldstein, today on Transformation Talk Radio. And we started talking about how to craft a good story. So he talked about a start and a middle and an ending, and not going on and on about, you know, you need to have a point to the story, moral to the story. So what's next that we need to know about a good story?
Okay, Sharon. Well, so we've established that, and we're talking, when I say beginning, middle, and end, there are many differences. This is our kind of classic three-act structure, beginning, middle, and end.
Okay.
So take it from there. Now, within the beginning, middle, and end, remember, I keep using the word beats. And by beats, I mean these are the moments that you keep moving to. So in the simplest way, and let's just keep using threes, let's say you have your beginning, which would be the first part of your story, and then you would divide each section into having what I'm going to call a sub-climax, okay? So the beginning would end up in a sub-climax, and let's use a television show so that we can all use a reference. A lot of times you watch a TV show, it will begin, and maybe like 5 or 6 or 7 minutes into it, something will happen that's kind of like almost like a cliffhanger. What's going to happen? That's when they cut the commercial. Okay, so that at that point, that's the subclimax. So when you're talking about beginning, middle, and end, you want to think about what is going to be your subclimax at the end of the beginning, what's going to be your subclimax at the end of the middle, and what's going to be your major climax at the end. And what beats are you going to do to get to that point? That'll be the easiest way to actually create a simple story. So if you say, okay, well, at the end of the beginning, I want, well, let's use the easiest. I want boy meets girl. At the end of the middle, I want boy loses girl. Mm-hmm. At the end of the end, I want boy gets girl back. Or if you want to change it to these days, it could be girl meets girl, boy meets boy, whatever you want. But boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy gets girl back. Those are your two subclimaxes and your major climax. Using that as an example. Now, start getting the beats between, well, how does the boy meet the girl? Where does the boy meet the girl? When does the boy meet the girl? You can just use the 5 W's if you want. And if you start structuring it that way, and again, as I said before, make sure that you write this down in bullet points before you start writing. Don't just start writing. It's not a good idea because it's really easy to just go right off the track. So once you have all of those points, your beginning, your middle, and your end, your subclimax for the beginning section, your subclimax for the middle section, and your major climax for the end section. And then one more little thing. After your major climax, you have what we call a denouement, meaning that kind of moment. Even when you see a TV show where, you know, it's all over, and then there's the last kind of minutes where the people all come together. That's called a denouement in French. I don't know what it is in English. But using that simple structure, that's the way you can tell any kind of story, whether it's a story that you're trying to write, whether you're going to a coffee house and doing some storytelling stuff, or in the best of all worlds, when, again, what we were talking about before, when you're sitting around with your family and you're telling a story. A story that can be of great importance to the family, you know, because those stories, those directional stories where you're telling about things that you did that were positive, or, and a lot of times you're telling about things that you regret, where the people in your family are listening and they're cautionary in the sense of, this is what I did and I wish I hadn't done it. So for the young people are thinking, oh, Gramp said that. I'm going to remember that. So I don't do the same thing. Thank goodness Gramps didn't, not me. So there's a lot of power to storytelling, and it's not just restricted to commercial storytelling.
Well, and also might be a way to say something that if you told it in too much of a straight truth,
won't work.
Yeah, that you can wrap it into a story that is easier to swallow.
Aesop figured that one out. I mean, absolutely. Of course, it's so much easier. I mean, we all know the surest way to make your kid not do what you want him to do is to ask him to do it. It's simply not going to happen, right? The better way is as what you were talking about, a parable, an allegory, a family story. All of this is a fantastic way to impart family history, which is so important, and be able to say something without actually saying it. And that, by the way, is a key aspect in a story. Never, ever, ever say what you want to say. Ever. Imply it. Do not state it.
Then it's
not a story anymore. Then it's a thesis.
Well, I just lost my thought too. So seems like a good story also has a protagonist, something that gets in the way and you think they're going to go off course. What's the power? Why is that in there and why is it important?
It can. I mean, a protagonist is only as strong as the antagonist. So the antagonist being the thing that's stymieing the protagonist. So it's kind of like a yin and a yang in life. It's the black and the white. So if you have a protagonist, and most stories do, not all stories do, but most stories do, it's almost necessary to have an antagonist. You can have a protagonist without an antagonist if the protagonist has severe doubts that they're trying to deal with. That's actually the antagonist. In other words, there has to be resistance. That's just a classical way of talking about things. This is not necessarily the only way to tell a story, but that is the more traditional kind of way of telling a story. You can also do stories that we call slice of life. It's kind of like a piece of beautiful, big, fat cake that you cut, and then you look at all the lovely layers in that cake. You can write a story that way also that has no antagonist at all.
So that's probably what you did with PBS shows, right?
No. The PBS shows were more classic as what we were talking with protagonists and antagonists. They were more of the traditional things. Normally, the other one, because those were visual, the other way was talking slice of life. Those tend to be autobiographical pieces.
Okay.
Biographical pieces where someone's just talking, not just, I shouldn't use that word, where someone's, you know, recounting their lives and what they did, and kind of, so the antagonists tend to not be really fleshed out. It's really about kind of introspective writing.
So let's touch a little bit, Alan, on where we need more storytelling, like maybe daycare centers or libraries, or what's been your experience?
My experience is that we need, first of all, I live metaphor. I am a walking metaphor, right? I eat it, I drink it, I breathe it, I talk it, I see it everywhere. So for me, I am like probably the great advocate of the metaphor, whether it be visual or written. And so in my opinion, metaphor and storytelling, because, you know, the metaphor are the bricks for the story, are necessary everywhere, from preschool to assisted living. Because in assisted living, stories and metaphor can help one encapsulate and understand where they've been and where they are. Stories in preschool can help provide children with directionality a moral compass, which we all very much need, and which we were talking about before, can be lacking.
What about in our jobs?
Absolutely. And in our homes and with our friends and everywhere. It's basically, you know, what is a story? A story creates connection. A story, it creates understanding. A story creates, more than that, a story provides a history of man. I mean, stories, whether you talk about just looking at stories that they've discovered, for example, in France, in the caves of France, where they've taught, where you see these beautiful, beautiful wall paintings of ancient men hunting. You see those images, that's a story. It's an amazing story, right? But also the oral tradition, without the oral tradition, so much of the history that we have.
Well, and I'm thinking about a lot of value in knowing why your company was started has a big, great value to all the employees, but are they hearing it like they need to hear it? And because it often shares values that you may never know as this was the foundation of our company.
That's very, very true. And again, it all is a consequence of how that story is told.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Okay. So we're going to come back and ask Alan what he's working on next and what values he finds in stories. So stay tuned to Fresh Courage. It's your time to shine.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Hi, I'm Laura Meeks, and the most common problem that my clients face is all work and no play. This is why I created Fly High Living. I help you develop a balanced life plan and guide you to a place where you love to wake up in the morning.
Call 888-666-1570 or go to flyhighliving.com to sign up for the 4-week Flight Plan for Life course.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Aubert. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Aubert. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyaubert.com. That's drkathyaubert.com.
Calling all moms, it's time to awaken your vibrant, intuitive, loving self in every area of your life. Join host Debbie Pokornik as she shares thoughts, stories, and tools to help you stand in your power. Listen to Vibrant Powerful Moms helping everyday women create extraordinary lives, Mondays at 2:30 Pacific, 5:30 Eastern. For more information about Debbie, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
Thank you for coming back to Fresh Courage. It's your time to shine. And we're talking with Alan Goldstein on Transformation Talk Radio. And our topic today is weaving life together, how we're connecting our lives through stories and metaphors. And we've been hearing a lot of why this is valuable to us. So I'm kind of thinking, Alan, you might have a value around storytelling. Does that fit for you?
No, of course it does. I mean, you know, as I was saying earlier, value of storytelling is that one's able to impart beliefs, thoughts, concerns. It's a connector from the past to the present to the future. It has so much power that it's absolutely essential and has been in my life. My life has been one of, I guess people call me, when it comes to careers, kind of a bit of a renaissance man. My degrees and everything was in psychology. Yet I became a film screenwriter and a director because I loved movies so long. I did that for the longest period of time. I mean, over 25 years of doing that for all the major studios. And so writing was a thing that's always been with me. But then I've been able to transition. I thought, okay, I've written a lot of screenplays and a lot of things. I want to kind of deal with other things. And I came to an age where I started to think about retiring from that. And that's when I started thinking about, well, I didn't really want to just retire. I'm not the kind of guy who goes onto the golf course and plays every day. I don't even play golf. I need to have other things, and I need to have other artistic endeavors to kind of keep me vibrant. Mm-hmm. So thinking about that, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to try start some nonfiction stuff. And I started writing essays, and I started writing letters to the editor. And I started talking about something that I'm sure a lot of our audience is dealing with, which was retirement. What do you do when you decide what your primary job was and you want to move on, but you don't really want to, as the cowboys would say, hang up your spurs quite yet? You know, still like riding that pony. So it's kind of like, how do you do it? And for me, I was able to kind of find something. And I have to say, the RCA was very, very, very useful for me about this, the Retirement Coaches Association, because the first thing I thought is, I think I might want to be a retirement coach. And they had a great program, and, you know, their credentialing was top notch and rigorous. And it gave me a lot of tools. Mm-hmm. But somehow I wanted to meld that with my writing, because writing for me is like my lifeblood. It's the tonic to my blood. And I thought, oh, how can I do this? And fortunately, I happened to meet an editor of a newspaper, and we were talking about things. And I said to him, I said, you know, your newspaper, I bet you 80% of the people who read your newspaper are 65 and older. I said, because young people don't even know what a piece of newspaper feels like for the most part. And he said, funny you should say that. It's actually true. And I said, well, you know, it's odd because you have columns, you have a number of columns and things like that, but you don't have anything about retirement. And the RCA, of course, opened up my eyes to all of this and my own research. And I was aghast at what retirement could be. Mm-hmm. And nobody was talking about it. No one was discussing it. So I proposed, how about I write a column for your newspaper? And, you know, I had written a number of things for national magazines and stuff. So he was able to just call me up on the internet. He saw my writing, nonfiction writing, and he gave me the opportunity to do it. And that was about a year ago. I have 500,000 readers. Thank you. The newspaper goes out to 300,000 households. So from that, we figure about 500,000. I hope they read it. Like, I shouldn't say that with certainty, but there's 500,000 people who have the opportunity to read my column. But I get a lot of feedback from it. And the column is called Full Speed Ahead. And it can be found, it's on the Grunion Gazette. And it's both the Gazette and the e-edition. So for anybody who's watching, they can just put Grunion Gazette e-edition, Full Speed Ahead, or my name, Alan A. Goldstein. And you'll see what are like really pressing hot button issues about retirement. So I've taken my writing from, and I use metaphor all the time in it, in a nonfiction way too, And it, more than anything, really helps encapsulate things. But, you know, it's been very well received, and you know, I'm hoping to expand my readership with it. So that's been a very, very good thing for me.
So if people want to contact you directly, your email is Alan Goldstein's email is nextstep969@gmail.com. And I have a website, Quilted Petunia. Well, that's on Etsy, a store on Etsy called Quilted Petunia, where I share my little art blocks, like you've sometimes seen on my show.
Beautiful, by the way, Sharon.
Thank you. Thank you. And my coaching website is called Effortless Vitality. So let's see. So what's motivating you now is, it sounds like you've recaptured or reprogrammed, repurposed your story writing into a column in the newspaper that gives you a chance to still share your storytelling, right?
Absolutely. It gives me a chance to take my storytelling, but it also gives me a chance, and this is very important for me, to advocate. To advocate for issues that we, as boomer generation and older generations, are having to deal with, quite frankly, without a lot of public knowledge of what's really going on. And there are so many issues that need advocacy. There are so many issues that need the media to make them public. That it's really a cause that I've taken up that I think is extremely important, because some of the issues of what's going on right now, and we're only getting larger. There's more and more of us. You know, here's an interesting small statistic I was just reading. As of 2020, there are more grandparents than grandchildren. How's that? Worldwide.
Okay.
I mean, think about it, right? I can say numbers, but there are more grandparents than grandchildren at the present moment on this planet. And that sector is really not getting the attention and the support that they need. So I found that in doing this, it's great because I love to write. And so it gives me a personal satisfaction, and a purpose that's important. But also, it's opened up my eyes to the fact that we really need to be able to talk about a lot of the issues that are affecting us as older adults that are simply just not discussed. So I feel that it's really an important thing, and I'm hoping that this column will get published in other newspapers. I'm just aiming right now to just try to get them in San Francisco and San Diego, and, you know, kind of get the major California cities, and then expand from there. So kind of what
thank you for what you're doing, Alan. That is powerful. And thank you for being my guest today. And I want to mention one of the guests I had on earlier, and that we also met at this conference, was Sarah Zeff Geber. And she talks about that 20% of the boomers going into retirement have no kids. So that justifies and kind of explains your comment earlier. So you might want to listen to her show as well. So I appreciate you listening to us today and tuning in to Fresh Courage. And thanks again, Alan, for all the wisdom you've been sharing today, and keep up the good work.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon, for inviting me.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you. Okay.
Ready to take some liberties and call some shots? I know I am. Join in next week on Fresh Courage Radio. It's your time to shine with Sharon Rolfe on TransformationTalkRadio.com. If you still need some inspiration, let your curiosity lead you. Many still find their lives ruled by the clock, but you forge your own path. You are starting on a journey that will lead you outward, out of isolation, and inward to your true desires for life. There is no map where we're going, but let Sharon Rolfe be your guide in a new world of possibilities. Find your passion, find your reason, find your fun, and everything you dreamed of. Every week brings new insights and ideas to light your way and elevate your day. To learn more about Fresh Courage Radio with Sharon Rolfe, please visit effortlessvitality.org.